It's the time of the new year. The church year begins with the Advent season and lead up to Christmas. And we all know how the year unfolds after Christmas and on through Easter. And eventually we arrive once more at the first Sunday of Advent. And the church year has followed a similar calendar, at least since the Council of Ephesus in 431. The history of the universe isn't an endless repetition of hours, days, months, seasons, and years, although it is that. But it is a progression from a beginning to an end. Scientists are careful when they write down numbers. The last one of a number, the last digit of a number, is slightly odd. It could be out by one, or a bit more than half, either way. Well, the beginning of our universe was 13.787. That last seven, a bit dodgy. 1,000,000,000 years ago. And it's as reliable and precise a figure as science ever gives to any question. On a sunny day, we enjoy the warmth of the sun. It comes from hydrogen fuel being converted to helium. We're on a planet orbiting our sun once a year. Where did that come from? The inner rocky planets, including the Earth, formed from the debris after a large star, originally partnered with our sun, exploded. And in that explosion formed hydrogen and helium and all of the 90-odd chemical elements of the periodic table. And most of that was scattered out into space, but there were enough scraps to gather together through gravity to become our family of planets. So it's not quite sure exactly when, and I'm prepared only to quote to three significant figures. 4,500,000,000 years ago. What of the future? Our sun has fuel enough for many thousands of millions of years. And the astronomers who watch the fate of stars seem to be confident that there is no scientific reason to expect any major rain, any major changes for at least several millions of years. There has been, and probably will be, plenty of time. And in that time, all sorts of things have happened. Living creatures very soon took advantage of this new planet. Astronomers sometimes have a charming turn of phrase. In a solar system, the Goldilocks zone is where everything is just right for living creatures. Our Earth, of course, is in the Goldilocks zone of our sun. And so living creatures have been evolving slowly at first, but for a very long time. There are a few living fossils left to let us know what early life on the Earth was like. The living stromatolites of Shark Bay in Australia are a useful reminder of just how young mankind is. cutting a many million year story short, our almost human ancestors were late on the scene, evolving over the last few million years, and in the process becoming us. The time periods are getting shorter, you notice. A few tens of thousands of years ago, human beings learnt to control fire and invented the greatest time saver ever. That's cooking. Then came villages, agriculture and trade, followed by towns and priests and scribes and warfare and history. By 2,000 years ago, the Jews had already had many generations living with and worshipping Yahweh as he worked towards the redemption of humanity through his son Jesus. And just at the right time, there was the Roman Empire, with good, safe communications by which letters could be sent all over the known world. And this is the historical context within which Jesus taught. Jesus changes everything. He is the dividing line between then and now. So, what is our future? Is it business as usual, in which life on Earth continues until the thermodynamics of increasing entropy and the heat death of the universe see us off? Or is there to be an end? Jesus said that though he himself didn't know when the end of things might be, there would indeed be an end. What? How? Why? Where? Some Christians turn to the book of Revelation for answers. Let me say at once that I can't understand much of the book beyond the first very few chapters. And let me add a rider to that. I don't trust those who claim to be able to understand it either. But I do think that when in the fullness of time, and that could be millions of years, God does decide that it is time for the end, then that book will probably turn out to be a useful guide. What about the middle of things, where we are? The book of Acts describes the very early church. In the years before, the church came to realize that though God could blow the final whistle at any time, it was wise to plan for the long haul. This was a very important realization. We are to live and plan and strive to do God's will in the expectation that we have plenty of time to get things right. In that context, let us not forget that evolution is not over. Humankind is not fixed as it is. We're still evolving, flat out. We still evolve in the old-fashioned biological way. But in addition, we also have a colossally fast cultural evolution. Jesus came to us at just the critical moment when his ideas first had a chance of becoming important in human history. It's our job as the church to be a practical example of the new life. That, to my way of thinking, is why God chose Paul. Just the right man to write the epistles that have been such useful guides to the church over the past centuries. Paul tweaked, understood, realized that we were in for the long haul. that sometime Jesus will return. But in the meantime, we simply get on with being his body, the church. And so the Advent season. It's not just about the baby Jesus, important though he is. It's also a reminder about Jesus, the Lord of all creation, returning to sort out the mess that we've made of his creation. We're not to run about like headless chooks, but we are to recognize that though it's very sensible to plan what we'll do next year, Jesus will return sometime, and we'd better be ready.